Well, the brand new edition of Fleishig's magazine is out. It's called Rosh Hashanah. And some of the articles that are in this edition, this issue of Fleishig's magazine, so caught my attention, even though I'm not a chef and I'm not one who, you know, usually goes for the the food preparation, that I had to ask Shlomo Klein to join us on the air. A lot of interesting things in this issue, to say the least. Shlomo Klein is the chief operating officer at Fleishig's magazine. He's with us live via telephone. A pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Always a pleasure to be on, and always love talking about food.
Yeah, I love talking about food. I'm not exactly into the recipes and stuff, but there's so much in this issue that I had to review with you. By the way, you call this issue our most approachable issue yet. You have that on the front cover. What does that mean?
Well, the idea for the Rosh Hashanah issue this year was, let's go back to basics. Let's bring back all the classics. And we wanted to make sure there's something there for everyone. So you really have, we brought back Simon, and we brought back all kinds of things that people are ready for, they're already using on Rosh Hashanah. And we basically went two paths. We took each one. You have the classic dish, and then you have the twist or the more modern approach. So you really have something there for everyone. Makes it really approachable.
The truth is, you've always been a bridge between the classic and what's new out there. You've done that either subtly or directly many, many times in all these issues. And it's pretty cool, actually. I've gone through it, so I know exactly what you mean. By the way, I have to just interrupt for a moment and point out that your issues always have an amazing look. And I'm assuming that there's a certain standard of photography that your advertisers must adhere to. Would that be an accurate way of putting it?
I mean, I guess that's a fair point. We handle our own photography. We have an in-house studio. We have a team that Shifra has put together, and they've been with us for a while, and we try and keep our look.
I mean, if an ad doesn't look good, it's not going to make the magazine. Would that be safe to say?
You're referring to ad. Yes, the truth is, I don't think that's the case. I think I don't think I've ever turned away an ad that didn't look good. Actually, now that I think about it, there was once that I told them that they needed to fix things up. But for the most part, I think people that place ads in the magazine realize that they have a certain level here, and they want to keep up with it, I guess.
All right, that's cool. Now, Shlomo Klein's with us, Fleishig's magazine. What was the first article that prompted this phone call? Why would Nahum Siegel insist on speaking to Shlomo Klein about something having to do with Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is that there is an article on page 86 of this issue entitled Unique Rosh Hashanah Customs. And funny enough, some of these I've heard of. In fact, it's funny. I think I've heard of the more obscure ones. The ones that make a little bit of sense are the ones I did not hear of. So if you don't mind, Shlomo, I don't know how you did this research. Maybe you relied on Adina Silberman to do all the investigating regarding this. But if you don't mind, I just got to mention some of these. First of all, you start off with a custom to eat matzah on Rosh Hashanah. Now, did you hear of that before you saw it printed in your magazine?
I did not. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not. Apparently, it's something from Turkey.
Yeah.
And I see a second one in Turkey also where they don't actually eat honey on Rosh Hashanah. They specifically eat sugar because, I guess, for them, eating honey is an issue of this I've heard of bees' legs.
Right. They're worried about actual parts of bees being in the honey. So in Turkey, everybody, unlike here and in many other areas of the world, they're not using honey to dip their challah or their apple on Rosh Hashanah. They're using sugar. And in addition to that, they're actually eating matzah. And they're doing so that to demonstrate the wish that we be saved from all evil decrees the same way we were during the Exodus from Egypt. So that's why they're eating matzah on Rosh Hashanah. The other thing is, there is and this one I had heard of, and I never understood the reason. But again, like I say, the ones I've heard of, I think the reasons are a little bit more suspect. There's a custom among Eastern Europeans, and that would, of course, include a good section of this audience from Eastern European backgrounds, who purchase a new knife for Rosh Hashanah. And I have to assume, the way you and I have some type of overlap in terms of how we grew up, I have to assume you've heard of this one, right?
So this one I've heard of. I mean, it was never our custom, but I think a lot of Hasidim do it. I think there's even a lot of people that go to different Revelach, and they get a bracha, and they get a knife, or they give a knife. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Maybe they give a donation and they get a knife. But this I've definitely heard of, and there's a few things that kind of correlate to it. One of them is Chatach, which is the name of the Malach who actually handles our Parnasa.
Right.
And the sentence Poteach et Yadecha, the last letter of each word, Poteach is a Chet, et is a Tav, and Yadecha is a Kaf, is the word Chatach. I think the sentence continues, oh, Umasbiya Lechol Charatzon. The Gematria is also 428, which is Chatach.
Right.
So there's some kind of connection there between the knife and Parnasa, and therefore people have a custom to actually give a knife or get a knife before Rosh Hashanah.
Right, and to have it blessed, etc. So this is the, and again, now we're in the area, unlike the honey and the matzah, now we're in the area of the, similarity in words. And this is basically where all of the customs of the simonim, of the different signs, if you will, that we, customarily eat on Rosh Hashanah night, this is where it comes from. It comes from the fact that there are certain fruits and vegetables that have a similar root, Hebrew root, or have a some type of relationship to a language, and that's why, in fact, we eat them. And you outline some of these, by the way, because when you go through, I think it's on page 114, Fleishik's magazine, when you go through some of the unique things that people do to serve simanim with these unique recipes that you're offering, the beet salad and the whole roasted bronzino, which I'm assuming is, the fish, and of course you could knock off the fish head at the same time. You have different simanim salads, roasted red cabbage wedges, because there's a whole cabbage component to all of this. All of these have to do with the language, if you will, of similarity between certain fruits and vegetables and different things that we're either hoping for or that are related to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. So I enjoyed the unique ones I had never heard of. It's these that are always, somewhat funny to me, although, we don't want to make too much fun of tradition. It is a tradition, these signs. But it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable that now you've taken these basic simanim that everyone's eating raw on Wednesday night next week, and you've created these beautiful dishes out of them.
100%. I want to give you just one example here, because the next time you're doing your show in France, you've got to try this. So we took one of the simonym is leeks.
Right.
And so the classic recipe is actually a leek patty, like a leek pancake.
Right.
And so we gave a recipe for that, but then we went into the update. The update was influenced by a trip we did to Paris in L'Atelier Deli in Paris. They served a dish that was like braised leeks with sort of deviled eggs on top. Nahum, I'm telling you, the next time you're in Paris, you better try this. This is really unique. I mean, listen, you can always try it here and make the recipe. We gave a recipe for it, but this was just like something like, whoa, that was out there.
Yeah, for those wondering, by the way, and I've said this before, I'm in a unique situation because Rosh Hashanah for the last 40 years, I'm somewhere where they take the simanim very seriously. But growing up, we never had this. Growing up, we dipped the apple in honey. And of course, before that, we dipped the challah in honey, and that was it. So just, seeing how all the, and it's not just that they've been added to, a tradition like mine, seeing how seriously people take it is funny. By the way, I don't think you mentioned anywhere in this magazine about avoiding nuts on Rosh Hashanah. I'm assuming that in your background, you have the same thing, right?
So yes, definitely. There are specific nuts. It's the nuts that, that in Hebrew translate to egois, because, for example, shkedim aren't considered a nut.
Right, but I guess walnuts walnuts and peanuts, right?
Right, so those kind of nuts, because egois has the same numerical value as chet, as sin.
Yeah.
So some people have a custom nut. And then there's also, it's brought on a Shulchan Aruch that that for the bouncer care, for the person who's blowing the shofar, nuts leaves your mouth dry and it's hard to blow. So there are people that don't eat nuts. But first of all, I mean, a magazine for Rosh Hashanah is also for the whole Yom Tov, and there's plenty other opportunities. And then again, there are different nuts, different substitutions, different menhagim. So like I said, most approachable. We got to keep something for everyone.
I got it. Believe me, I got it. This thing is funny that of all the things that are really urgent and important when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's just funny that these things, you know, made it toward the top of the list. Again, not to belittle. Tradition is tradition. Minig is minig. And God forbid, I would never go ahead and say anything derogatory. Just there is a some type of humorous component to it that we take this very seriously. But thank God we do take it seriously, and that we pass it on to our children in terms of taking it seriously. Shlomo Klein is with us, Chief Operating Officer at Fleishik's Magazine. So, look, I mean, one of the obvious things from this week's issue, and I think we could say this about all your issues, but I don't know, they really stood out this time for me, is that there is a completely new approach, and I don't know if you'd put it that way, you'll let me know, a new approach to preparing food in our community. Whatever is classic is simply not acceptable anymore. Is that too harsh, or would you agree with me that that's the right way of putting it?
That is a little bit harsh. I think, listen, people in general are always looking for something new and looking for a new twist, something to change up their menu. Baruch Hashem, in our community, we're cooking a lot. We're doing Thanksgiving on a weekly basis, if not a couple times a week. So people are looking for something different. But I do find, even with myself, I tend to go back to the classics a lot. And any research will show you, if you do any Google research on kosher websites or recipes, you'll see, or cookbooks, you'll see that the classics definitely do keep coming back for a reason.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the following, Mr. Shlomo Klein, as you talk about your attraction to the classics. If you look at page 62 and 63, I have a different impression of what you have to offer. Last night, as Mrs. Siegel was preparing her round challahs for the holiday, which I'm proud to say are the traditional route, meanwhile, you're printing a maple brown sugar oat babka with apple filling, a roasted garlic honey challah, a garlic hot honey beef stuffed challah, and a garlic hot honey beef fillings. Now, I don't know what my grandmother and others from those generations would say about including garlic in a Rosh Hashanah challah, or even having beef stuffed into a Rosh Hashanah challah. Would you like to answer this in front of this audience?
My grandmother would kick me out of the house. Are you kidding me? But the funny thing is, these are fun. A lot of these. You know, it's not really the kind of, I don't know that I'll be making hamaisi on this, but, you know, it's to serve this along with, you know, the meat course. Right. Or if you're doing like that sweet one together with for the first night with some, with the apple and honey, it kind of has a whole new, it's a fun twist.
Yeah, I mean, look, my mother would not put chrein on the table on Rosh Hashanah, even though I couldn't eat fish without it. She would not put chrein on the table. And you're tossing garlic into the challah. I mean, come on.
So how did you manage without the crane?
I had to sneak it, or I had to eat it without it. It was by the way, once you got the, because anything we did Rosh Hashanah, we did Sukkis, like, you know, challah and honey on Sukkis. You know, so by the time we got to Sukkis, I was like, okay, enough already with the chrein. We're having chrein, you know, during the Sukkah meal. Even that was a challenge, believe me. Oh, I'll tell you, the trauma of growing up under these circumstances, I can't begin to tell you. It's the brand new issue of Fleishik's Magazine. Shlomo Klein, many people are on your mailing list, and you have plenty of subscribers. Direct us to a website and give us information of how people could order their own subscription to Fleishik's Magazine.
Sure. www.fleishik.com, FLEISHIGS.com. You can get a subscription. If you subscribe now, we will get the Rosh Hashanah issue out to you. Get a subscription for yourself. Get one for your friend. Makes a great hostess gift. And everyone's going to enjoy the person reading it, the person eating the results. It's just the all-around happy people.
Yeah, boy, do we love a delicious meal, don't we? Baruch Hashem. And there's nothing like gathering together with family and friends. And remember, Shlomo Klein, it's six meals this Rosh Hashanah. Six meals.
Oh, yeah. This is Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot.
Correct.
This is a heavy one.
Yeah, there's a lot of meals coming up. You know, I'm kidding around, and you know, I love having fun with your magazine. A Shana Tova Mituka, happy, healthy, and sweet new year, and continued success for Fleishik's magazine and your entire family.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
More coming up. It's a JM in the AM Tuesday morning broadcast. That's Shlomo Klein from Fleishik's magazine. That's the Rosh Hashanah issue. I'll tell you. I like discussing. I don't want to say making fun. I like having fun with the Rosh Hashanah Minhagim. Let's put it that way. But I didn't realize that he and his staff would print certain things I never even heard of. That's unbelievable. And in addition to that, it is remarkable that the traditional round challah can now be made in varieties that our grandparents would simply completely reject. He said he'd be thrown out of the kitchen. I have a feeling he's right about that one, to say the least.